Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Locked On Clippers. Today we're doing Locked On Clippers Live, which, if you don't know, that's on Twitter every Tuesday at Locked On Clips. We'll be taking some questions from you guys. We're going to kick things off today with a little bit of a recap of last night's loss to the Hawks. A little bit of a rough one to watch. We couldn't really close it out. Came close. But no cigar.
Very close. Definitely no cigar.
Definitely no cigar. And then, as I said, we'll be getting into Twitter Tuesday, so we'll take some questions from you guys. We'll obviously try to answer as many as we can. If you're listening to this and not watching the live stream, please feel free anytime during the week. If you're unable to watch, send in your questions. We'll answer them. You can listen to them later. You know. And then we're going to wrap things up with just a little bit of a recap of everything that happened in the NBA last night in the Western Conference. Might get into a little bit of trade talks.
Ooh, maybe.
And we will take whatever additional questions we have time for. So with that being said, I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And let's get into this thing.
Someone just said, hey, from Colorado. What's up? We're Montana natives. That's close by.
Welcome.
So the Hawks beat your Los Angeles Clippers last night.
Oh, yeah.
123-118.
Very close.
I think we almost got this score flip-flopped in our pregame prediction.
Pretty close, yeah.
I think we were close to it.
Yeah.
Just some quick stats for you guys right off the bat. Tobias Harris kept his fantastic streak of play up with 38-7, which is pretty incredible. Lou Will had 21-9, but he did shoot kind of poorly. We'll talk about that in a bit. Trez had 18. Patrick Beverley somehow was like a weird triple-double almost machine. He had 10-10-6, which was crazy. For the Hawks, they were led by, of course, Trae Young. He had 26-4-8 with one turnover, which was he just had a really damn good game against us. John Collins, who we were worried about in the pregame, had 22, and Alex Len had 19-9 off the bench to go along with Dwayne Dedman's.
Your guy, Alex Len.
Dude, my boy Alex Len.
He was really, really solid.
Yeah, it seems like we didn't have an answer for anything that the Hawks do well.
No, we didn't have an answer for their backcourt. We did kind of prevent them from shooting, at least Trae Young, from shooting from three very effectively.
Yeah.
Other than that, like I felt like we had trouble kind of stretching out on the floor. No one on the team had on the Clippers squad had a defensive rating better than 119.
Oh, damn.
Which is not very good. Defensively, we were not really able to pull this one together, which was definitely a bummer. There were, however, some bright spots. We did get some great performances out of Shea.
So many. I mean, what was it? Seven guys were in double figures for us.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating because we were playing pretty well offensively.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, the first half, it was a two-point game. Jerome hit a buzzer beater to go into the half.
A great buzzer beater. It was very big.
It was tight.
It was one of those grown man moves talking about with Jerome Robinson.
He did get fouled and he missed the free throw. That sucks, but what are you going to do? The third quarter was kind of tough. They took six more shots than we did and hit almost 54% of them.
Wow.
Which was hard. The fourth quarter, we tried to claw back in, and we almost did. We shot 55% in the fourth quarter to their 47. It just still, like,
it just wasn't enough.
We just went
down too much in the first and third quarter, and we just weren't really able to come back from that. We mentioned that in the game preview. Like, this team, like, despite, if you just look at their record, it seems like a god-awful team.
It does.
You
know?
But if you watch them actually play, like, they're not terrible. They have a lot of good, they have some upside, and they have some good players. And, like, their bench is deceptively deep.
Yeah, and they've been playing well.
Definitely.
Is the other thing. We caught, like, this was a crazy trap game. Terrible schedule kind of caught up with us, I think, for part of it.
Yeah. Well, and I don't even mean to make excuses. I'm just, like, giving more credit to the Hawks because
definitely
I haven't had, like, the pleasure, or this one was a displeasure, but I haven't really had the pleasure to watch a whole lot of their games.
Yeah.
So seeing, like, how strong they actually are as a unit is you know, pretty interesting.
They have a good core. When they get clicking, it's, like, fun to watch.
Definitely.
Just wish it wouldn't have been against us.
Yeah.
Tobias, let's talk about his game for a little bit. He was fantastic this game.
Yeah.
He was huge in the fourth, which has been a big criticism on him from us sometimes and a lot of Clipper Nation on Twitter. He
100%.
Went 4 of 5 in the fourth, including a three. Just kind of sucks to see this game wasted. Someone just said, those dynamic big men like John Collins just continually give us trouble.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. He catches oops.
Collins fouled out last game, which was actually really huge for us.
Yeah, that is pretty big.
You know, he kind of murders us. And I mean, Alex Len too is like kind of another guy who's pretty tailor-made to give us trouble inside, and
like skinny athletic centers.
Yeah.
Who can just kind of move a little bit.
And
really
their interior presence, especially generating second chance opportunities on the offensive boards, was really incredible to watch. They would miss shots, and we would have three guys in position or whatever, and they just couldn't get the board. They couldn't battle for it sometimes. And sometimes it was their fault. Like, they weren't looking in the right direction. Mm-hmm. They weren't maybe the most aware, but it was really impressive seeing how many second chance opportunities they were able to create for themselves.
Yeah, the biggest second chance opportunity. So we lost the boards 38-44 in this one.
It felt like even more, though. I thought it felt a lot higher than that.
So the biggest one to lose, there was 1:27 left. It's 118-112. Trae Young misses a shot. Dwayne Dedman just got the offensive board and dunked it to stretch the lead to 8. Then Trez got a dunk, and then Trae Young hit a dagger 3 to put them up by 9.
Yeah.
And it was just like, damn.
It was really hard to come back from that.
So they shot 50% from the field, which is great, but we shot 48%.
Yeah.
So it was just that thing of, their shots were falling. In the first quarter, we shot 42% to their 54%.
Mm-hmm.
And in the third quarter, we shot 40% to their 53%.
Wow.
So we were just getting, it was just a seesaw. We could only kind of match them. And then the two quarters we lost, we really lost in terms of shooting percentage.
Yeah, and we talked about that it would be an issue if we didn't take a whole lot of attempts. And we stayed really close with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they took 34. Oh, and no, we only took 27.
We made the same amount of threes, though, right? 10 to 10 or something like that?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Another thing where maybe just taking a couple more threes could have helped us out.
Yeah. I mean, naturally any percentage is going to dip the more that you're taking it, but I think that we got to take that risk sometimes. I just think the issue has still been not being able to create those quality looks. Even Jerome, who if you can get him open, he can pretty much knock down a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't get a whole lot of attempts. I think he took, he only had 2 field goal attempts all game.
That was tough. A lot of people were kind of noticing, at least this was some chatter, if you will, on Twitter, that Jerome is usually open on the perimeter. Guys just kind of have a hard time finding him, and I think that's just because he's a new guy.
I think that's one of those things. We talked a lot about Lou Will's passing yesterday and how it's evolved that as he's playing with these guys that he just innately understands how to pass to them, guys like Motley, guys like Trez, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think when you're adding in a new piece, even though the corner three is, the easiest shot maybe in basketball, I think that if you're not used to having that knockdown shooter run to that position,
for sure,
you maybe don't know to look for him. And that's something that can only come with the team gelling together and everybody getting used to each other.
Yeah, there was some talk on Twitter after about how Lou Williams maybe lost us this game or something like that.
Which I don't think could be further from the truth. It would have been great if he would have shot a little bit better, but he got to the line 12 times. He dished out 9 assists. He would have had even more. Trez missed a super close dunk in the going down the stretch. So, it's not on any of the guys there that were in double digits. Could we have gotten some better play off the bench? That would have been nice. But Mike Scott still shot 33%. He only got once again 3 attempts. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he went 4 of 17 total, 1 of 5 from 3. I gotta think his hamstring is not 100%, or one of them's not 100%. Because he's been shooting kind of poorly the past couple games, and just something seems off out there.
Yeah. I mean, but he still put up 21 points. Man.
Yeah,
how much
not
more
his
do you
fault.
Want? Like, how much more can you expect on a nightly basis?
Yeah.
From your sixth man,
it took a Lou Williams triple double for us to beat the Bulls. So I guess we can kind of give this one to him in terms of a night off. All in all, frustrating loss. I think the most frustrating thing, and this might actually bleed into our next segment, was Shea's game. I'm not frustrated at Shea.
Yeah, to clarify, this isn't Shea's game. He finished with a reasonable stat line, 11-2-2. He did have 2 turnovers.
He had 5 of 7 shooting.
Yeah.
And so I looked at the first 2 turnovers. The first turnover was a travel in the first 2 minutes of the third.
Okay.
The game was tied, and it led to the layup by the Hawks to put them up by 2. That's kind of lame. Second turnover was 6 minutes later. We were down 2, and a bad pass led to a Vince Carter bucket to stretch their lead to 4. Then Jerome was subbed in for Shea, and that was the last we saw of Shea.
Yeah.
I just don't...
I don't get why he's sitting out entire quarters.
I don't understand it. And, like, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
He had two bad turnovers, yes. They were, however, in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like, and he was on 5 of 7 shooting. He was playing real. He had two steals.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, I don't understand why he has such a short leash from Doc.
Yeah, it's really hard to comprehend. And I just don't get how he's ever going to overcome that stuff if he's not playing through it.
Yeah, because if he's supposedly going to be the driver of the offense next year, which I'm assuming everyone watching and listening, and us included, is totally happy with.
Yeah.
He has to be able to, like, have the opportunity to try and bounce back from mental mistakes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The refs didn't help either. Three bad calls during Clippers' run. Yeah, that was
tough.
No,
I agree. Sure. I agree. And, you know, people, we were talking about how the reffing wasn't great, but at one point, you know, in the third or fourth, in the fourth, we were still down by like 11 or 15 points.
Yeah,
and
it was like,
yeah, the calls weren't great, but they weren't, I mean, we can't really chalk it up to that.
That's not why we lost. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about this game? It was so weird looking at the shooting percentages and everyone's numbers after the game, because, like, most other days, this feels like a win.
This does feel like a win. Yeah, there was a lot of encouraging stuff. I mean, it was going to be a hard game. We had just played, despite winning really handedly. I mean, that's a hard set of back-to-backs.
Oh, yeah, Kings and then Hawks?
It's two young teams that want to run you off the floor. You know, looking back on it now, we both discussed that this could maybe be a trap game.
Yeah.
And I guess we should have been, like, a little bit more cautious maybe in our preview. One thing I do want to know, and this is a super low bar, but I was really glad that all starters managed to score in double digits.
That's huge.
Which is not something that the Clippers have been able to do with any sort of consistency.
Yeah, you got to find a hope when all feels lost.
Yeah, but it was pretty solid. And, I mean, yeah, there's no easy games for the Clips. I thought they would struggle more against the Kings.
Everyone did.
Yeah, they kind of, I mean, it just seems like at this point we have them a little bit figured out, whereas, you know, I would say the Hawks are a little bit more wily. They're also so unpredictable, I feel like.
Yeah. They had a different lineup from when we first saw them two in the season, so that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was just new wrinkles and stuff like that.
Definitely.
Coming up after this quick break, we're going to be taking some Twitter questions. Some of you guys shot me some before this, so I'll break those down. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. You can check it out on Twitter if you're watching right now. It aggregates everything.
No, you can't. You can't come out of this stream.
Oh, that's true. God dang it. My old age strikes again. On Instagram, you get the biggest stories in under a minute, which is nice. Yeah, great for local news. Locked On Net, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, so we're on Twitter Tuesdays. We don't have like a catchphrase for it. We need to get one of those.
Twitter Tuesdays.
So we got a question from Point a Minute. Shout out to @PointAMinute before the stream. He said, at what point will we stop going over every screen and giving opponents a downhill 2-on-1? If we do it against Rondo, it's true madness.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. It was frustrating last night.
I agree. Well, luckily, it made a little bit more sense last night because you want your defense to respect Trae Young from three.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if he's not shooting well, like at any point, it could go off.
He's still gonna fire up.
And the idea is that you're still able to cut off some of his passing lanes. And I think that they were really worried about that given the last game. Where he had
17 assists.
Yeah,
I think, in the last game.
It was like It was 17-19. It was some insane number of assists. And in this contest, you know, we were able to hold him to 8. So,
hey.
I mean, it's something. You know, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it is. It is definitely something.
It's hard against a guy like Trae Young too, because he is so versatile. His floater is absolutely crazy. The last couple of games, I think I saw some stat where on his floater in the last like 4 games, he's shooting 56% or something like that from it.
Wow.
So we caught him at a hot time. But I do agree, going over screens has kind of not doomed us, but...
Well, here's my issue, is I think that even the bigger issue of going over the screen is I don't think that guys are getting in position and communicating on a switch.
Doc mentioned that a couple games ago.
Because you would see, like, so after the pick and roll, they went over the screen, he was able to drive inside, nobody was sliding their feet over, nobody was going in to help. So he had a wide open lane, but I don't think that's just on the primary ball defender. I think that that's on the whole unit.
And our bigs, we don't have the most agile bigs.
No.
So sliding over on that is really hard. We've seen this team give up backdoor baskets. We've seen them give up corner threes. It always seems like there's kind of a hole somewhere on the defense. And some days, I think you're totally right, some days the trust just isn't there for whatever reason.
It's Civ City.
It is Civ City. And I think against a team like the Hawks, we don't see a lot. we don't have as good of a read on how they play.
Definitely.
So like with the Kings, you know, we're 3-0 against them. We kind of know.
We have that figured out a little bit better. Yeah, especially, well, it's just, we just struggle with guys who are super versatile because, I mean, not to get down on anybody, like part of what makes this squad great is we've assembled these guys who are like utility pieces that are each good at a thing, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe a
one
good,
and a half.
They're good at a thing and like, you know, pretty good at something else. So like when we play guys like a Trae Young or like some of the athletic bigs, Collins or Len or what have you, I think that's where like those sort of weaknesses get really exploited.
100%.
Like, you have to respect Trae Young from outside because he could shoot, but at the same time, he's got a great driving game.
Yeah.
It just takes better communication on the defensive end, which hasn't been there. And I don't know what we're going to do about that beyond this season. I don't know if Rex Kalamian is the right answer for this team.
Because we have so much turnover going into next season, it's kind of like, so we're going to teach more new guys this system that seems to be built on trust?
Yeah, that doesn't really seem to be working that well. So I don't know. I think that maybe we should kind of transition back to what we were doing last year, a little bit more switch heavy.
Or earlier in the season.
Yeah, or even just earlier in the season when we were having more success. I don't really know.
Tough sitch. Another question we got beforehand from Yilin Yang. Do you think it's necessary to trade for Lonzo Ball as the third team in Anthony Davis trade? No. No, pretty much just because we have Shea.
Yeah.
We have, I mean, theoretically, Avery Bradley for another year. We got Patrick Beverley probably. Like, we just don't, I don't know what we would do with that. We would just, like, insert Lonzo into the starting lineup, and then Shea's on the bench. Like, next year it would get so murky.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't think
someone said barf on the Twitter screen.
Agree. I don't think there's anything that the Lakers have as an asset that I would be really interested in involving ourselves in a trade to help them get.
And also, what are we giving up? Yeah, why would we help them get? That's a really good point.
You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't even think about that.
Unless we were somehow able to, like, if it was some sort of blockbuster trade where we were able to end up with Holiday and.
Or Randall. Because
I think that Holiday would be a really great compliment to Shea, but I still don't get how you would make that maneuvering work.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that would really work.
We've got a couple of questions during the podcast that I didn't get your username down, so I apologize for that. But someone asked Gallo back after All-Star Game. It's unclear. To me, that's a very likely possibility with, you know, the trade deadline looming and everything. If he doesn't get moved.
Yeah, which... This guy, it could happen. Doc said, or Gallo said it was going to be like about a week recently. So that's like,
I think keep him on the shelf. You know, in either event, whether you're looking to trade him to a contender at the deadline for, you know, whatever, as much as you could possibly get, or if you do want to keep him, why not just have him sit out for a stretch? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough four games that we miss him. As we've noticed, missing Gallo is a huge deal for us. I'm kind of starting to think he might get traded too. I don't really know the whole back situation. Will's pulling up the schedule right now. Yeah, these are some tough games we're missing.
So we got Lakers, Pistons, Raptors, Hornets, and then we play the Pacers on the eve of the deadline.
Yeah, he might miss all of those games.
Yeah, I mean, I see two of those as being pretty winnable. And then the
Lakers,
Raptors,
Pistons.
It just depends. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Hornets game, yeah, we could take it to them. We also play the Celtics right after we play. God, man, we got a tough stretch. The whole schedule sucks.
Yeah. We're also pretty comfortable in eighth. I mean, we're, you know, the closest team is still the Lakers, and they're a game and a half behind us.
And they play the 76ers tonight. So,
yeah.
Hey, they could lose. That would really help us out. Want to give a quick commemoration. 1 year ago today, the Tobias and the Blake trade went down.
Hey.
Huzzah. Feels like both teams kind of won that trade.
Yeah, it was
given
it
what
was
they
a good
wanted.
Deal.
Like,
it was
a great deal. Shout out to Blake. Shout out to the terrible general managing of the Pistons who gave us a first round pick, as well as Tobias and Boban. That was fantastic.
I disagree. I don't think it was terrible on their part. I think that it would have been awesome for them to get an asset. I think that it was the right move for them. Blake is having a great season. They have something to be excited about. There's not a whole lot else on that roster that's like getting butts in seats.
Yeah, Andre Drummond's not bringing people in.
Yeah, and like Reggie Jackson and, you know, your man Kennard.
Dude, Luke the Duke?
And that's not to say that these players couldn't be nice players or like it couldn't work on another squad or something, but like...
They're just not...
If you just built a new stadium and you're trying to get people in the seat, none of those names are like bringing people into basketball.
Yeah, Blake seems generally frustrated with playing for them, like just with some of his teammates.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Which I totally see, but like, it's
but
good
once
to
again,
see him doing
I think
well.
With how well he's playing, they could flip this into something else.
That'd be tight, man. I would feel bad if Blake just got like just flipped around a ton, like just turning into a trade piece. Are Clippers making any moves? We see that a lot on Twitter. I don't know. I don't think we are.
It's really hard to say.
The Anthony Davis thing is funny. I've seen some people. There's been a ton of trade machine things where Gallo for AD works straight up, but it's like
financially,
yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll give him 8 years of first round picks.
There's just a lot more that goes into any sort of trade. So unless we move Gallo, we're not going to be active at the deadline. And you know, we have at this point 8 days.
Yeah, not a lot of time.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I would be surprised if we made a move.
Yeah, and I feel like if we do make a move, it's going to be a move where it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be like a...
Outside of moving Gallo, which gets difficult if the injury is still real or, like, real enough for him to have missed a couple weeks of games.
Back spasms. How do they work?
I think that makes it a lot more difficult. And outside of moving either him or Tobias or something, I don't see any trade in our future that actually moves the needle in any sort of positive way.
Yeah, nothing's going to bump us up.
At the deadline.
For sure.
At the deadline.
Flipping Gallo for maybe an expiring contract and late first-round picks would be sort of okay.
I don't think anyone's given up a late first for...
Yeah.
For Gallo.
Yeah. I think that would be sort of okay. We'd have a first-round pick. At this rate, we are going to make the playoffs, so we're probably not going to have our pick because it goes to Celtics.
Yeah, no, that'll end up being a Celtic pick.
Sorry I'm late. Gallo playing against Lakers. I'm thinking that he won't. John Cooperman, you are late. He's out for another week, buddy.
No Gallo.
Which sucks. Also, Thursday for the game, we're going to bring this up again tomorrow. We're going to Crawford's Chicken in Echo Park. If anyone wants to come through, watch the game, eat some delicious chicken.
Should be a good time.
Should be a fun time. Anything else you want to talk about on Twitter Tuesdays?
No, I don't have anything. Do these guys have anything else?
We'll get back to it in the next segment if we can. Oh, could they be keeping him out to keep him healthy for a trade? This guy thinks so.
That's what I think. I think that if we want to do something at the deadline, he's our best asset to move.
He's been our best player other than maybe Trez, so we'll see what happens. Coming up after this, an NBA wrap-up and probably some more Twitter questions. So let's get into this Warriors game.
Man, this is rough.
God, I feel bad for the Pacers, dude.
So, the Warriors outpaced the Pacers.
Oh, hello.
132-100.
Yeah, that was not fun for those Indiana Pacers.
That's a rough loss.
Yeah. Do you still think the Clips are making the playoffs with a tough run and Gallo out? We'll get to that. Give us one sec. Steph Curry had 26. DeMarcus Cousins took a pretty horrifying fall. Like it looked broke his ankle. He ended up with 22-6-4, so he was fine. Durant and Clay each had 16. The Pacers' highest scorer was Miles Turner with 16. Bohan had 15. Darren Collison had 13. And I don't think anyone else had 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Warriors shot 42%.
Where was my dude, DeMontis?
Warriors shot 42% from 3 and won the first quarter, 40-22. Now a game and a half ahead of the Nuggets in the West. Great. Good for the Warriors. John Cooperman just asked if we're still going to make the playoffs with this tough stretch without Gallo. I don't know, man. It could be tough.
It could be tough. I feel like we're pretty firmly cemented right now. As I said earlier in the show, we're a game and a half above the Lakers, who are currently in ninth.
A loss tonight from Lakers would go a really long way
to
making Thursday easier.
It's kind of that thing where like you just got to hope that other teams are still losing.
Yeah, which is never a good feeling.
If we can have Gallo back by at the end of the All-Star break, I'm not too worried about it. If it's going on longer than that, I'm not really too sure.
We're not 100% sure. Is LeBron playing on Thursday?
I'm not sure.
They've kept his status like so low-key.
Yeah.
Which I guess is good, but we're going to look out. Lakers have a tough stretch coming too. They absolutely do. So it's fitting, of course, that we have to compete with the other Los Angeles team to make the playoffs. At one point, I think we were talking about maybe being the 4 and 5 seed and playing each other. That would be great. Doesn't seem like it's going to work out that way right now.
Probably not. No. It seems like LeBron is just back to doing like full scrimmages as of Monday.
How does he look against the assistant coaches in 2-on-2, though? Because that's Lou Williams look good, and that's how he's playing right now.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll be back. Would you guys rather be an early exit or keep our pick? How about this one? I hope we try and make the playoffs. Like, best case scenario, we try and make the playoffs. Like, we genuinely try and put a good effort forward. Mm-hmm. And we don't, and we keep our pick.
Yeah.
That would be the best case scenario for me for missing the playoffs. I don't want to purposely try and miss the playoffs.
No, I agree. I agree totally.
We're kind of.
I think, like, even a first round exit, you know, like we keep talking about this, that's just a better pitch to a free agent. A team that, you know, look what they were able to do without you. Like, clearly there's a
good, don't need you, but we really need you. Please come here.
I mean, like, clearly there's a good foundation, and I think that that's something that you want to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know that, like, you're not years and years out roster wise from a team being able to make some significant noise.
I would say. Year and a half out is how I'd say how far we are.
Yeah.
Which is not that much.
And I think that is honestly more appealing to me than like a late lottery pick.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
Being enticing to free agents in that sort of way.
Because we kind of talked about this draft a little bit yesterday with how the Hawks are like winning too much to have a good draft pick.
Yeah, totally.
A low lottery pick in this draft is not what it was going to be like this year's draft. I think last year's draft really spoiled a lot of us.
Definitely.
And being like, oh, there's good players 1 through 30.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, from what we've heard, from what we've heard, it doesn't seem like this class is going to be quite as deep. So John Cooperman is asking a little bit about these playoff prospects, and he's saying if we can sneak into the 7th seed, do you think we can win that matchup?
We can win a couple games against the Nuggets.
The Nuggets, I mean, it's not my favorite matchup still, but I do like it better than the Warriors.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a lot more competitive of a series for sure.
I think we take one or two from the Nuggets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we take one or two
from the Warriors. And we have Jokic's kryptonite, which is the man Boban. If we can get Jokic to pitch a fit and get tossed from every game, we'd have a shot. Exactly.
That's a great plan.
A little bit. That's a damn good plan.
But yeah, I don't like if we somehow got into six, I don't really like the idea of going 7 games against the Thunder.
No.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Trailblazers just make a weird late push, and then we sneak into 7, and it's Blazers, Clippers.
Dude, that'd be fun.
At the 2 and 7 spot for the first round of the playoffs, because that, I think, is a winnable game for us. Hard, for sure.
But winnable.
Wouldn't be a pushover, but I do think that's a winnable situation for us.
Man, and that would be horrible for the Blazers, because if they lost that series, it would just be another year
I kind of hope that it happens. I like the Blazers, so it's like whatever.
Yeah, shout out to the Pacific Northwest.
But they got to get something figured out, and I think that, like, to get a shakeup, they need to have, like, one more slap in the face. And then it'll be like, all right, whatever you guys want, we'll give you CJ McCollum. What do you got? Like,
Do have to move. I kind of like their loyalty to those two guys, but they got to move one of them. They should have moved one of them.
They should have moved one of them, or they should have built a more competent roster around the both of them. Yeah. And they haven't really been able to. I mean, they've had some good lineups. Like, they've had, and like, they have a pretty decent bench right now. They have some good pieces. It's just not enough.
Yeah. Guys, that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us on Locked On Clippers. Thank you for watching on the Twitter stream and for shooting our questions. Please like, rate, and subscribe on iTunes. Tomorrow, we are going to have, what's tomorrow, Wednesday?
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
We got What Could Have Been Wednesday.
The Arrow Universe.
Just, you know, what could have happened if things went differently?
Oh, yeah.
Going to be doing just some general Clips talk. We got some time off in between the Lakers. We'll probably maybe do an extended game preview or something like that. Thanks for tuning in. I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much, guys.